marching at the dawn of the day. All the darkened kittens, the Milan's gray, are touched by the radiance that the sun discloses.
Oh, hear the people singing bread and roses.
Singing bread and roses
as we come marching,
as we are marching on and on. Good afternoon. This is the Bread and Roses Show on a Friday afternoon, the 27th of May. I am your host this week, Elliot Terry. The Bread and Roses Show each week brings you issues of a fair economy, social issues, political issues, issues of peace and justice. One of our co-hosts, Pocky Whalen, is at this moment on her way to Gaza, working for peace and justice. I send my prayers. We send our prayers out to Pocky for her safe journey. This week on the Bread and Roses Show, we'll be talking about veterans issues and a particular unique organization that is local, the organization called Soldier On.
For their women's children and their mothers again.
If you're a vet and you're hanging in the park, we have a place for you to come home to tonight. If you're a vet and you're getting out of jail, we don't want you going out to sleep on somebody's couch on their porch while you try to find a job. We want you to come home to our house. We'll get you settled in, get you healthy, help you find a job, get you on your feet. If you're a vet and you're hanging in the park, we have a place for you to come home to tonight. If you're a vet and you're getting out of jail, we don't want you going out to sleep on somebody's couch on their porch while you try to find a job.
All right, you get the message. That is the voice of Jack Dowling. Jack Dowling, the head of Soldier On, the local organization inviting all vets. There is a project planned for the property, the campus of the VA Center in Leeds, in Northampton, that will build housing for homeless vets. Right now, the VA is home to about 140 homeless vets through the Soldier On organization. And we will be talking about that with the vice president and senior operating officer, Mike Hagmeyer. He'll be here, and hopefully we'll also be talking with one of the staff, counselors, Pastor Jim Gregory. But right now, I'd like to just get take some business out of the way. First of all, I'd like to tell you are listening to WXOJ, Valley Free Radio, at 103.3 LP on your FM dial. We are listener-sponsored, and we are volunteer-run, all volunteer. So if you have a program you would like to put on the air, something that is burning inside you, do come down and put in a proposal, and we'll see what we can do. Also, I want to let you know that we have a blog where you can access any of the archives of the Bread and Roses Show. That is at HTTP and all of that, breadandrosesradio.wordpress.com. breadandrosesradio.wordpress.com. No www in that. It's a blog. You can access any of the former shows or some of the former shows. Now, let's hear some more of Jack Dowling.
When somebody goes back out on the street, I think we failed. I feel that when it's our responsibility, it's our job to open up a system of honesty, communications, security for the veteran to feel comfortable enough to be able to tell us what his needs or her needs are and what kind of supports we need to put in place to do it. I think that the community that's here has a face in my mind and in my heart. And when I think of the community, I think of the brokenness that people came in with You've got to remember, everybody that comes to us has lost most of what's important to us in life. Sons, daughters, moms, dads, husbands, wives, and friends are gone. So when they come in and they don't have anything, to see the face of them together as they celebrate and serve one another brings an identity into my heart that's just empowering and gives me the ability to do the work each day.
That was Jack Dowling speaking about his work as the leader, the CEO of Soldier On. Soldier On is a nonprofit organization governed by a full-time CEO, that's Jack Dowling, and a volunteer board of directors. They work in partnership with the Department of Veterans Affairs and other agencies to provide veterans with both shelter and support services, which include recovery and treatment for addictions, job training and skills development, and of course housing. Soldier On operates in two locations, a 165-bed shelter in two buildings leased from the Veterans Affairs Medical Center in Leeds, Massachusetts, and the Berkshire Veterans Residence, a traditional living facility with space for 71 formerly homeless veterans in Pittsfield, Massachusetts. These facilities are managed by formerly homeless veterans. And earlier this year, Soldier On announced plans for another co-op residential housing project in partnership with the Leeds VA Center to be built on the grounds of the Leeds campus. Mike Hagmeier is the Senior Vice President, Chief Operating Officer at Soldier On. In his current role, Mike oversees the day-to-day operations and improvement of programming at both the Pittsfield Berkshire Veterans Residence and Leeds community. Mike, welcome to Bread and Roses.
Glad to be here today, Elliot. Thank you very much for having us.
Great. Now, I just played some clips of Jack. But first I want to ask you, how did you get involved with Soldier On?
Well, I met Jack Dowling in 2005, and he happened to have a job opening for a case manager position. And at the time I was working at the Pittsfield Public Schools, and I wanted to try something different, and I started off doing case management and fell absolutely in love with what I do in serving the people that I get to serve every single day.
And what's your background for case management? Like, what did you bring to it?
I graduated from Massachusetts College of Liberal Arts in North Adams, Massachusetts, with a bachelor's degree in sociology with a concentration in social work.
Okay. Now, I just played a couple of clips. I had lost a fairly important audio bite that I wanted to play. But Jack Dowling is described in the website for Soldier On as the driving force since 2001 of the vision of Soldier On and the programs. Can you talk about Jack's vision of changing the end of the story? And actually, let me play that clip too and hear what he says about changing the end of the story for veterans.
Changing the end of the story means ending homelessness for veterans for the rest of their lives. And the only way to change the end of the story is to build affordable housing that veterans own, that has sustainable energy costs, and that they manage themselves.
So, building for affordable housing for veterans, changing the end of the story. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, absolutely. Currently, the way veterans organizations like ours are funded are through what's considered a VA grant per diem program, where we house and provide services to homeless veterans. Unfortunately, through that process, veterans are sharing rooms, two people to a room, three people to a room, four people to a room, you know, and you would think that for someone who's living on the streets, that's not a bad way to live at the current, at the present time. In 2001, when Jack took over the agency, his first idea was to run the Holiday Inn of homeless shelters for veterans, and we got to that point. Got to that point very quickly. To change that in the story was to build the affordable housing for veterans. In the United States, everybody wants to own a piece of America. They want to have a place to call their own. When you're living in a homeless shelter and you're sharing a room with a couple other people, it's not yours. You may run the community, which our veterans do run the community, but you do not own. You don't feel part, a real part of the overall community. So when we talk about the overall community, we're talking about for the community that we built in Pittsfield at the Veterans Zone, being a part of Pittsfield, the city of Pittsfield, and what we're going to build down here in Leeds, being a part of Leeds and Florence and Northampton, and really becoming once again contributing members of the community, becoming taxpayers once again. Most amazing thing, you know, a lot of people complain about having to pay taxes. The first time we mentioned to the veterans in Pittsfield that when we're building limited equity cooperative housing in Pittsfield that they're going to be taxpayers, they all stood up and clapped. They were excited. They're excited to have a place to call their own, not a rental unit where they don't feel grounded. So really changing the other story is giving veterans the ability to own where they live at a very inexpensive price.
Now, that's unique as an approach. Did that start with a vision by Jack or his vision, or was there a program that he modeled after?
Started 100% with Jack. Jack took a look at the population of veterans who were living with us. And when you look at the income levels that the veterans in our community have, they can't afford to go out there and take out a mortgage for $130,000. And we built in Pittsfield limited equity cooperative housing at about $135,000 per unit for veterans to own. And they're in there living for $562 a month.
Okay, I want to get into this. What is the term limited equity mean, and how does that work?
Okay. Limited equity cooperative, very simple, is veterans buy a share to become renters in the community, basically. So the share that they buy makes them owners, makes them taxpayers. So they buy a share for $2,500. We have veterans who couldn't afford the $2,500. Not a big deal. We matched whatever they could put in. We put in the rest, and they became vested owners of that of the community. They're 1/39th owners. That gives them the equity as owners. Whereas you and I owning a home, the equity comes in when we pay down our mortgage. We get a return on our investment. So once they become shareholders of this cooperative, because we've been able to build our housing debt free, what would typically go towards paying mortgage on a unit like that, there is no mortgage. So whatever, when we break it out each month, we break it out so whatever it costs, the upkeep, the heat, the hot water, the electricity, that's all included in the rent. So when we break out that, we break out the upkeep of the landscape. After that, the veterans are taking home 35% to 40% of what they paid for the rental each month back into a individual deposit account, which is where the equity comes in.
Mm.
And the cooperative comes into play where there's a board of the formerly homeless veterans who own that cooperative, a 7-person board of formerly homeless veterans who enforce and really work with the community on making sure that they continue to live in a community together. And that's where the cooperative piece comes.
All right, so let me get this straight, because there seems to be a contradiction. A homeless vet, you wouldn't think would have any money and any ability to get some equity. So what's going on here is that there's no mortgage because, and I want to get into the funding a little later, but there's no mortgage, and so therefore there's no, any money that comes in can come into, after expenses, goes to right into the equity for the individual vet, but the vet is expected to pay rent.
Correct.
Okay, so how does a homeless vet get to that point?
Veterans in our community can receive non-service connected disabilities, being in the military and then having been injured outside of the military. They can receive a non-service connected pension. They can receive a service connected pension where they were injured in the military. Some of the veterans in our care receive Social Security disability. Some of them are receiving supplemental security income. And then we find employment on a yearly basis for about 185 veterans in our community. So there's veterans working out in the community in jobs.
Okay. Okay. So we may be joined at this moment by Jim Gregory, who works also with Soldier On. Let me take this phone call. Let me try to get you on the air, if you'll just hold on. Okay. And let me tell the audience, this is a call from Jim Gregory. He's a pastor that works with Soldier On. Are you there?
I'm there.
Oh, there you are. Okay. Let me just interrupt this line of questioning to introduce you and who has just joined us. Let me see. I've got some of your particulars written right here. Pastor James Gregory. James Gregory was ordained and commissioned into the ministry under the authority of the Christian Fellowship Ministries in 1990. Pastor Jim and his wife Julie serve as the pastorate of Victory Chapel in Holyoke, Massachusetts. Pastor Jim's ministry includes the formerly homeless veterans living at Soldier On in Leeds. Spirituality is a cornerstone to the recovery and to the soldier on being a being a faith-based organization. I took that from the website, and we'll be talking about that a little bit. Pastor James Gregory, welcome to Bread and Roses.
I'm glad to be here.
We were just talking about the project in Leeds with Mike, I just wanted to follow up on the line of questioning about the housing project that's being built. We just talked about the limited equity concept and the co-op model that is being followed. But, Mike, I was hoping you could talk a little bit about the give us just an overview about the Leeds project and how many units and how is it being funded?
Sure. The Leeds project is being funded through what's considered a VAI-2, which is an innovative grant that we applied for through the Veterans Affairs Medical Center to build permanent housing for veterans. So 100% of it's being funded through the VA through an innovative technologies grant, which we're going to be using some innovative building materials and design to build the housing so that it's sustainable. Expected units, we're in negotiations with the VA right now. Not sure how many units. We're looking at a minimum of probably 50 units.
I think I took a look at the map, and it looks like it's going to be in that grass area that goes right down to Route 9. Is that what you're looking at?
Nope. Actually, across from Look Park, the wooded area, that if you're coming from Florence and you're headed towards the VA hospital, just before you get to the lights at the VA hospital, up there on the right-hand side is a wooded area, right up in that wooded area up there.
Oh, okay. Okay, right on the campus. So that's, it's still nearer than further away. It's nearer to Route 9 than further away, like
correct.
On the top of the hill.
Correct.
That's good. Okay. Now I'm glad that Pastor Jim is here, too, because I wanted to talk somewhat about the programs that are offered to the vets at the VA by Soldier On and the problems that the vets face generally, either Mike or Jim. You talk about the programs?
Sure. We offer on a weekly basis, roughly 88 different groups, including AA and NA meetings. Some of them are based in alcohol and drug addiction. Some basic groups that, if you went to some detox centers or some programs, you would probably run into the same groups. We have a, I guess before I get into it, we have a gentleman named George Hinckley, who's our vice president of treatment, and George has developed what we consider a four-phase substance abuse and life skills program. your typical social service agency may offer a 21-day substance abuse rehab program. Well, 21 days doesn't solve anyone's issues with substance abuse. What really needs to take place is a lifetime commitment to sobriety. So George developed this program, which you come in on day one, you start in phase one, and it's some educational groups so you can understand what's going on, possibly going on with you with no longer using. In phase two, we offer some more electives. So we give it more of a college-style atmosphere where you choose what's going to best fit you. We're not going to tell you what groups you're going to go into. We're going to let you choose the groups that you want to be in so that you can really center on what needs to be centered on. Because you, as the veteran in our program, know what needs to happen. And then phase three are some support groups that are run by the veterans. And phase four is mentoring programs where the veterans are helping other veterans with day-to-day activities and mm-hmm. welcoming veterans. So what we try and do is we try to develop a program that lived out in the veterans and throughout the entire time that they're in our program. Jim, if you want to talk a little bit about some of
Jim,
the programs
and actually,
that you are...
Actually, Jim, I wanted you, I know I read in the introduction that your work as a pastor directly impacts. I'd like to talk about your work at Soldier On and how spirituality, which is said to be the cornerstone of Soldier On's approach to services, how you're directly involved in that. Can you do that?
Well, that's a pretty broad question. I'm a little... It's not so easy to narrow down. However, I can say that I believe spirituality and a strong personal faith, whatever that might be, plays a very important role in a lot of our staff. A lot of the staff is there because they want to serve people and they want to make a difference in people's lives. And we try to impart that to people who come into our program, and as Mike described it, the phase program that Mr. Hinckley developed is a work of genius because it takes people who are willing to put in the work and develop some integrity and sobriety, and it puts them in a position to give back. And probably the best work that happens around Soldier On is just veteran to veteran. And that only comes as they develop some cornerstones that we try to work on, and those are faith, hope, integrity, and dignity. And we try to impart those things to people as newcomers, and hopefully they catch the disease and try to start to spread it through the halls. I don't know. I'm not too sure how else to describe it.
Well, I'm going to be guiding you a little bit with. I'm going to be pressing on this issue quite a bit because one of the reasons I was hoping that you would join the show was that I'm very interested in the connection between on not just this issue with veterans, but human services. I'm interested in the connection in politics between spirituality and politics, between spirituality and almost everything we engage in socially. And I'm also interested in exploring the political ramifications in terms of money, grant money and federal connection with faith-based organization, but we'll do that a little bit after a break. But right now, I'd like to have you explore how your spirituality, in particular, enters into your counseling with some of the vets and what you encounter and how you call upon that. Can you do that?
Best to start with some of my own story. I came to my own personal faith as an 18-year-old drug addict. And it was my faith in a loving and a forgiving God that I believe guided me out of that lifestyle. And I entered into the ministry pretty much on a basis of gratitude, wanting to give back. I found that I was helped as I helped others. And over the time, I've been a pastor now for 20 years of born-again Christian churches. And the connection with Soldier On essentially started out of a gentleman who had been connected to our church. His name is Willie Letbetter. He's our outreach director. He was not at the time. He simply had been connected to our church and then came in to soldier on, which was known in those days as the United Veterans of America. And he simply began to attend our church services again, and we developed a relationship with Willie and with the veterans. Some people in the church began to invite the men over to their homes and spend some time with them and just try to help them and serve them any way they can. And eventually, as the faith and community-based initiative was introduced, we already had a relationship in place. And so they invited me to come and serve as a chaplain. But really, there was already a relationship there. It wasn't anything political. It was just very much something working already at the grassroots.
Right, let me just remind the listeners that they are listening to the Bread and Roses Show. It is brought to you by Valley Free Radio, WXOJ LP 103.3 FM. My name is Elliot Terry. I'm your host this week. We are talking about veterans issues and the project developed by Soldier On, which is a local organization. I'm talking with the Vice President and Chief Operating Officer Mike Hagmeier, and one of the staff chaplain, I don't know if I can call you chaplain, or caseworker, Pastor James Gregory, who is joining us by telephone. And to continue, though, with this line of questioning, Jim, you know, this probably wouldn't be the Bread and Roses Show if I didn't talk about the issue of Soldier On as a faith-based organization. And Mike, you can respond to this too, but the issue of government funding, I'm not sure if there is any government funding, but the issue of government funding for faith-based agencies is controversial in progressive circles. I don't have a problem with it. In fact, I think it's appropriate in most cases, although I do bristle at the political patronage that can develop. I can't speak for other hosts for the Bread and Roses Show, but I imagine that my colleague Joel Sachs may object on grounds of separation clause in the Constitution, as well as the
sense.
Yeah, and the sense that it's the government's job to care for the vets and all human service needs. What's your response?
My response is, first of all, that faith groups of all kinds have long served the neediest of our community. And, you know, as far as funding and the separation clause, I want to be abundantly clear that Soldier On promotes no one single faith, that all people of all faith are welcome or no faith are welcome. And the separation clause is really just to prevent the government from promoting or backing any one religion as opposed to another. I think any reading of our history books will show that there has long been a spiritual base in our country. And, you know, granted, we don't want to reestablish the Church of England, but, you know, there's no one faith that is central to Soldier On. I have gotten copies of the Quran for Muslims. I have directed some of our Jewish brethren to a local synagogue. I have had great discussions with people who essentially have no faith, and they're more than welcome to come among us. And so as to that question, I just wanted to be abundantly clear that while a lot of us operate out of a personal faith, we're not in the business of promoting or proselytizing any one faith.
Well, the other part of that question is why. Well, I could ask it in several different ways. Why does the government fall so short in providing for its veterans? And why is it necessary for an independent agency to come in and do the work that the government is not doing? And the other side of that, my opinion, is it seems like it requires a spiritual faith in order to do and undo the damage that is done to not just veterans, but across the board socially. From, you know, we live in a culture where so many millions of people are just walking wounded, and to service them through a secular model, it creates burnout. And maybe you could talk to that.
You know,
Go ahead, Mike.
I think the first thing that we need to take a look at, there are gaps in the government and how veterans have been taken care of in the past. The current Secretary of the VA, Secretary Shinseki, has initiated a 5-year plan to end veteran homelessness. It is probably one of the most progressive initiatives that the VA has put out, and they are bound and determined to end homelessness. But, you know, there's no, I don't think there's one government agency out there that could end homelessness, whether it's veterans or anyone in particular. It comes as a community. It comes as community-based organizations like ours, like ServiceNet in Northampton, like the Breen Center in Pittsfield, that are really dedicated to accepting grant money from the federal government to implement programs that really make it, that really have an impact on the street. You know, there's certain, you know, unfortunately, there's certain legislation out there that doesn't allow the government to do certain things. And as a nonprofit organization, we get out there, we get on the streets, and we really make things happen. And you know, it's one advantage. And I think we can criticize the government for what they may not have done in the past, but to give funding to nonprofit organizations to really get out there and get things done that they can't do, I think is a very important thing. I think we need to recognize the government and say, hey, thank you for understanding you can't do this and we can, and giving us the opportunity to try and help out this country. Because, you know, when we take a look at this country, we're all one country. And we need to look out for one another. So I think that's a big part. Getting back to the piece where we were talking about the government and faith-based organizations, and one of the big things when you talk about Soldier On, why are we a faith-based organization? You know, if you take a look at the 12 steps of AA, you know, there's a giving yourself up to a higher power, a belief in a higher power. It doesn't say what higher power, but a belief that there's something greater than you out there that you need to give yourself up to, and you need to not steer your path, but let your path be steered for you. I think it's important. And so when Soldier On, we take a look at 86% of the veterans who come through our program have an alcohol or addiction problem. Being faith-based, with the fact that one of the, you know, the 12 steps is having a belief in a higher power, it really brings us to becoming a faith-based organization, and letting a higher power help steer the people who come through our program.
Pastor Jim, did you have anything to add?
Well, Elliot, I did want to bring, you know, just on the one subject, I don't want to go too far down this road, but when we speak of the clause in the Constitution, we need to be careful to understand it is the Establishment Clause. It is not a Separation Clause.
Good point.
It is that the government shall not establish a government-controlled and a government-funded and a government-run religion.
Good point. Very good point.
You know, you read the writings of Abraham Lincoln and many of the others. You know, a strong faith has long played a role in what has made America great. And I want to clarify, too, that is the faith and community-based initiative, meaning it just opened the door to apply for funding to groups that probably previously could not. But it's not strictly limited to churches or synagogues. It's limited to community organizations. It's a very broad kind of spectrum. And I believe it was begun with the understanding that these groups can't do everything they're trying to do by themselves, and the government can't accomplish everything it's trying to do by itself. And as Mike pointed out, the goal was a partnership to help one another. Rather than pointing out the failings of either one, it was the understanding, and almost at the core of our spiritual beliefs is, as Alfred Lord Tennyson said, no man is an island, alone unto itself. And we all realize that we need help. The government realizes that, we realize that, and the goal is a partnership above everything else.
You know, Jim, there's there's a lot of radical things that in what you're saying. That seems the way you talk about it, it seems just very common sense. But the idea that no man is an island runs totally contradictory to the prevalent American philosophy of individualism and self-determination. And in fact, Jack Dowling talks about that in his on the website in the Jack Speaks piece, where he refers to the corporate lie that has been fed to veterans, and how that the soldier on intends to dispel that corporate lie. And what he talks about as part of the corporate lie is that they create solitariness and loneliness by creating single, you know, with the theory of individualism, rugged individualism, individualism basically, putting veterans in single room occupancy rooms or just even on the street. Whereas what the concept that Soldier On is advancing is a collective, cooperative, we're all part of the same. This is a spiritual perspective. It's a radical perspective. And maybe Mike, can you talk to that in terms of the corporate lie that Jack talks about?
Absolutely. You know, when we talk about the corporate lie, we're talking about telling people that let's get you sober, let's get you a place to live, and you come find us for the services. If that model had worked, we wouldn't have nearly the number of issues that we do today with alcohol, drugs, homelessness, whether it's veterans or non-veterans. So the corporate lie, and how we're looking to change the corporate lie is, hey, look, we're going to deliver the services where you live. We're not going to put you out in the middle. Again, and this is nothing against any town, but we're not going to put you out in the middle of Covington by yourself and tell you to figure out how to come find us in Northampton for services. If you want to go live in Covington, we're going to bring the services to you. But what we really want to do is we want to build a community of veterans. And I think we've done that in our transitional living communities. We refer to every single one of our buildings that the veterans live in as communities because it's where they live. It's theirs. And we've done that in Pittsfield at our Gordon H. Mansfield Veterans Community. And we will do that again here in Leeds with the Gordon H. Mansfield Veterans Community in Leeds. And we will bring services where the veterans live. We will not make them come to us. We will get out from behind our desks. We will go find every veteran. We will find out how they're doing. We will not let them be lonely. We will not let them be isolated. We are looking, again, like we talked about earlier in the program, to change the end of the story for homeless veterans. And what does that mean? That means not letting them ricochet in and out of detox centers and emergency rooms, but getting them a place that they own, stabilizing them in their home, and bringing the services where they live. Because once you get to where someone lives, you can see just how the place is kept, how they look, how they live in their apartment. If there's anything that's going on, they might not be telling you. So it's very important that we get out there, we get on the streets, we get out to where they live, and we serve them where they live. And the typical social service model before was, okay, Mike Hagmeyer, you live 20 miles away from the Soldier On. See if you can jump on 4 PVTA buses and get here by noon. And you're diagnosed with a mental health issue, and you're an alcoholic. Doesn't happen. Not going to happen. Not going to make the appointments. So we say, okay, let's get out there. Let's service these veterans where they live. Let's provide services in the community where they are, and let's really make these veterans successful. Let's not their failure. If they do not succeed, it's not a failure on their part. It's a failure on our part.
You know, I only had one attempt, I failed at it, to try to serve some veterans with the concept of the Sweat Lodge, the Native American Sweat Lodge. I know that there was a group out in Pittsfield that did kind of succeed somewhat with bringing counselors in to the Sweat Lodge with the veterans. I found it almost impossible in terms of doing outreach. I could not reach, not only was I terrified to reach a PS, you know, a post-traumatic stress, reach out to a post-traumatic stress veteran and be able to communicate that I could possibly understand their psyche. But the other thing was, you can't even find, nobody's going to come out and say, yeah, I want to announce that I've got this and I want to come to your little healing session. So I applaud you for even, trying to create and creating the sense of community among veterans. That's it. It's a marvelous thing. Jim, are you still there?
Yes, I'm still here.
Let's see. We've got some time left. Now this is time for the toughest question. I hope you guys can handle it. We're building. It started off with the easy ones, but we're building. I don't give Pastor Jim and Mike, I don't give the government a pass the way you do. I hold them pretty much responsible for a good amount of evil. And I want to address some of the philosophical and ethical dilemmas around the issue of war itself. From a spiritual perspective, Pastor Jim and Mike, there is in my mind, as well in many others, a glaring hypocrisy in this is a Christian-dominated nation, that war is not only sanctioned, but it's actively heralded with almost religious zeal. I and others view war as evil, and in fact, the primary evil on the earth. The problems of addiction, homelessness, mental illness, crime, suicide, etc., that we are discussing, in my mind, follow directly from the evil that is war. In other words, the spiritual dilemma for veterans and for the nation is that our souls, our collective psyche, are dramatically conflicted and compromised by the acceptance of evil as normal or as just the business of war. Pastor Jim, can you address this from a spiritual perspective?
I will say I've spoken with many veterans that were personally conflicted with what they're asked to do while serving. That's a big question. It's very hard for me to just answer that. Mike may be able to speak more from the standpoint of soldier on overall. Generally, my understanding is we really don't address that one way or the other. We try to serve the veteran.
Well, part of what Bread and Roses show is to try to get everyone to address that question, okay? Well, so consider it a rhetorical question then at this moment. I hope it lingers in your mind, Pastor Jim, and maybe you can come up and answer that sometime again on the show. But Mike has a little response.
Sure, Elliot. The veterans we serve addiction, mental illness, war has a tendency to bring those out. So what is the cost of war? The cost of war, homeless veterans, addicted veterans, veterans who can't sleep at night because of post-traumatic stress. The cost of war is larger than I think most people can ever imagine. To say war is evil, that's each person's own belief of what war is. But because the men and women in the armed forces, when they sign up for the armed forces, say that they will die for this country, which I think is very important that everybody hears that when someone signs in the dotted line that they're going into the military, they say to every single person in this country, I will die for you so that you can remain free and have your freedoms and have your dignity and live your life the way you'd like to live. I will put my life on the line. Whether we're in peacetime or wartime, every single person who has signed up has said that, which is very powerful. So everyone who goes in the military understands that they could come into a situation that their beliefs may not always coincide, but they understand that they have a job to do, like you do with this radio station, like I do at Soldier On. We have jobs to do, and we must do those jobs.
Well, I understand that, and everybody takes that whether they sign up for the police academy or fire department or any of those that really put their life on the line, that's part of the job. But here's the rub. In the case of war, particularly if it's not, it more often than not, historically, and I believe at present, is entered into on false pretenses, lies, criminal intent, for power, for wealth, for empire. And I don't think the individual soldier, unless they're a mercenary, signs up for the whole package. And then to have those same leaders dump them on the street and not take care of them, there's crimes on every level in my mind. And it just seems, I'd like folks in Soldier On to come and see our point of view at some point.
I understand exactly what you're saying. You know, we've been very, very lucky to be able to work with a man, Admiral Mike Mullen, who's the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. He would agree with you. I believe that we have taken young men and women, most of which have come from inner city, low-income housing projects, possibly one-parent families, who, if you look at statistics, are 8 times more likely to be entered into a negative social statistic at some point or another in their life. We put them into the military, into a structured environment, and after 4 years of doing very well and probably being some of the better people in the military, because structure really helps them out, we say thank you for your service, and we say, here you go, here's your ticket back home, but where is home? What is family? Those are the people who we see at Soldier On. And so, yeah, we do see exactly, I think, what you're talking about, the price of war. But getting back to Admiral Mullen, he's made a commitment to try and stop that and to end that, because he too feels that it is a crime that these young men and women have signed up for that, and we don't take care of them completely from the time that they're in the military and then discharged throughout the rest of their lives. It's our belief at Soldier On. Let me tell you something. We've been trying to push the government to, hey, say, look, at you're a veteran. Two things. One, let's get you a smart card. You don't need to go to the VA hospital all the time for your medical appointments. We got people in Maine who have to travel all the way to Boston for specialists when they pass probably 10 different hospitals that could service them. So let's get you a smart card so you're not inconvenienced. And then, you know what, let's get you a housing allowance. So every veteran has a housing allowance so that they can have their own home and remain housed forever. And let's make sure we take care of these men and women. And Admiral Mullen, who's the highest ranking military officer in the United States, is 100% behind these ideas. But again, he's one person, and I hope that someday we get to that point where no matter what happens, that discharge, you're taken care of.
Can I speak to that question just a little bit on based on my own experience?
I've got about 1 minute.
All I just want to say was that clearly the ball was dropped, especially after the Vietnam conflict. And the word, we see a lot of Vietnam veterans who are speaking to, obviously not the perfection, but progress in the government beginning to understand exactly what you're talking about.
Okay.
And hopefully that will continue to improve.
All right, we can hope. And Pastor Jim Gregory and Mike Hagmeier, I want to thank you, but the show is not over. I'm just, Pastor Jim, I'm going to let you go on the phone. I'm going to end with a recorded piece for the next 7 minutes. Earlier this year, on a frigid night in late winter, a homeless vet who was well known to many of us in Northampton, Craig Lorraine, died in Amherst. And I'd like to play this tribute to Craig, who some on the street called Bongos. So we're going to end the show with this tribute to Craig Lorraine.
Music is of the soul. Higher case, capital M, capital S. Music's charm is to unify us within ourselves and with each other, and in the case of great music, with the highest part of our being. The street is of the industrial mind, cold, linear, ruthless, and unrelenting. Its din is like a drug that numbs and alienates the soul, driving us down into the depths of our instincts. Homelessness, then, is the heroic journey of the soul through the underworld, one that few souls survive. One night, over a year ago, in Northampton, a sweet sound gently stilled the street's din. Expanding, it held open a doorway for the soul. A marimba, but where? There, near the corner, in the entranceway of a downtown shop, sat a hulking figure, cross-legged, tapping out a repetitive rhythm, trance-like, hypnotic. As he played, warmth and compassion filled the air. Laughter, even joy, might be coaxed from busy passers-by. I was drawn slowly and steadily toward the Hulk by a memory of sweet Northampton summers gone by, when joy, laughter, and a sense of community were palpable in the pulse of life on the street. Now this urban shaman had conjured some spirit of lost horizons. I put a dollar in his bucket. He stopped, and smiling broadly, saying, "Thank you, sir. God bless." He was a huge presence. Although seated on the ground, he was obviously tall, burly, bearded, unkempt, and overweight. And in the fashion of a true bohemian, he was entirely of the moment, chasing that elusive now. "That's a great sound," I offered, "sweet and cosmic. You like that, dude?" "I do. I hope you keep playing. Northampton needs that vibe." He said his name was Craig. We talked some more about the marimba. Then I made my goodbyes and left. I would see Craig from time to time in the laundromat, sleeping at mid-afternoon, or walking down King Street with his bedroll and packs, or sitting in a storefront playing his marimba. Once, after a holiday dinner with my visiting mom, I took a salmon stew from Aminu's and searched up and down the street until I found him sleeping against a wall. "Here's something for you." "Oh, man, thank you. Do I know you?" "Yeah, my name is Elliot. Your name is Craig, right? We've talked several times."
"Oh, yeah, Elliot."
"Enjoy." I was sometimes saddened and unnerved after an encounter with Craig. I've been safe and warm for decades, but as a young man in my 20s, I was homeless on the streets of New York City, and later, when I first arrived in the Valley, on the streets of Amherst and the campus of UMass. I think often, "There, but for grace or fortune, go I." And then, I think, "There go I again, soon, perhaps." The street is a terrifying home, ruled by thugs, madness, and police, and plagued by drugs, alcohol, violence, dehumanization, and all the projected effluent of a pious and hypocritical populace. Yet Craig was at peace with it. He would always greet you with a smile, absurdist humor, and a zest for the moment. So it was the last time I saw Craig. He was sitting cross-legged in his favorite storefront, where I'd first met him. His eyes were closed tightly, his head tilted as he drew long, bluesy notes from a newly acquired harmonica. It was sublime. As the song trailed off and hovered in the silence, he looked up and spotted me.
"Dude, I just made that up,"
he said, beaming with the joy and ecstasy of a creative burst of brilliance. I said, "That was fabulous, man," and I meant it. And he knew I understood his joy.
"Thanks. Hey, I know you, dude."
We talked about his song, then about my internet computer addiction. We laughed about the seduction of it all and how computers were programming us. I told him I really appreciated his songs and marimba for taking me away and back to what's real. He was pleased. We fist bumped a goodbye as I turned toward my laptop waiting at the Haymarket Cafe. Snow arrived overnight. Arctic cold followed. At the Newman Center at UMass, Craig's body was found, lifeless. His obituary gave his name as Craig D. Lorraine. He was 45. He was born in Holyoke and graduated high school in Chicopee. He was a member of the St. Regis Mohawk tribe. He had served proudly in the Navy during the Persian Gulf War. Another newspaper said his nickname was Bongos. Who knows what trauma, deed, or addiction caused his homeless spiral to the street? Craig was not just resigned, he'd gone past that, transcended perhaps, to find fulfillment and meaning in the now of pure creativity. As any artist can attest, Craig had grasped one of life's secrets, holding open that doorway for the soul, until last month, when Craig Lorraine stepped through. Tribute to Craig Lorraine. Thank you to Mike Hagmeyer from Soldier On. This has been the Bread and Roses Show for Friday afternoon, May 27th.
As we come marching at the dawn of the day,